This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is it really about where you go to high school? Is that like if you go to high school in like, would we have considered Marc Gasol a Memphian if he never played for the Grizzlies? The answer is absolutely not. Right. You agree with that?
That you have to play high school here to be a Memphian?
Well, I'm saying though, let's just say we consider Marc Gasol a Memphian.
Yes.
But
because, I mean, he
went to Lausanne.
He grew up in Spain. Like, he went back over there and became a man over there.
Right. But he came, he went to Lausanne.
Yeah. Played with Carlos Taylor.
And then he ended up getting drafted, or not drafted, but traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's where he spent almost all of his NBA career. We consider him a Memphian. But if he had gotten traded to the, you know, Detroit Pistons or, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, would we sit here today and talk about Marc Gasol as a Memphian? No. Just like we don't talk about Lou Williams.
Right. And we do Thad, who was not born here but went to high school here.
Right.
Was actually born in New Orleans but went to high school here.
Right.
You know, not just high school, middle school, all that. It goes to Mitchell, and we say Memphian.
But
yes.
So
high school to me an
so
important
is Mark,
part of this.
I mean, Mark is a Memphian because he spent a lot of years here.
I give him, it's shaky, but yeah, went to Lausanne, all that kind of stuff, grew up here. Your big brother's playing for the Grizzlies.
Right.
Like, I give you Memphian on that one, but certainly didn't reach the heights that Penny did. And that's a shaky one.
Well,
like you said, not born.
Well, like, let's just say, like,
but because of Thad in the high school, he wasn't born here, but was raised here. I'll give you Mark.
And Thad lives here, right? I mean, doesn't he have a place here? He comes back all the time.
His main home's like Dallas now, I think.
Yeah, but he's got Team Thad here.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's also about your efforts that you make. Where do you make your efforts post, you know, high school, post career? You know, Thad made a lot of those efforts here in Memphis.
Yeah, but Mike Miller, Memphian, has all that, but didn't go to high school here, he wouldn't be in this conversation.
Correct.
You get that. It's not just all about what you've done afterwards.
Oh, exactly. No, yeah, you have to have a
reason. And high school is the way to put that.
Yeah, Mike Miller's, I mean, we have embraced Mike as a Memphian because he's chosen to settle down here. But, you know, like if I go to New York for high school, if I spend 16 years of my life in Memphis, but I moved to New York City for high school, I'm not a New Yorker. You know, they don't look at me and say, oh, that guy, he's a New Yorker. No, I'm not from New York. I'm from Memphis. You know, just like, you know, Mark is from Spain. I mean, it's you know, if he had to claim a place in the United States, certainly it would be the city of Memphis.
Now, if Cam would have to go to finals, win, and have a significant role, very much more significant than just the backup point guard, to top what Penny has done. If we're talking about Memphians at the highest level and the highest, it's what Penny did in the finals, even though they got swept.
Yeah.
And Cam's going to have a hard time. I don't know that anybody surpasses that.
Do you consider James Wiseman a Memphian?
26 and 8.
Because he came to high school in Memphis.
Oh, boy.
Is he a Memphian?
Woof. I think he falls in the same line as Marc Gasol to me.
Oh, nah, bro.
What are you talking about? How much longer was Mark here than James was before he moved here?
But see, like, Mark, like fell in love with the city of Memphis, you know? I don't think you're going to have to worry about James coming back too often.
Oh, stop.
You think James is going to come back to the city of Memphis?
He'll make stops through.
He's playing.
I don't think he's not staying here. He'll make stops through. He's got all Malcolm Dandridge is his best friend. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
Malcolm Dandridge is going to be in college the next 12 years?
You went to prom here. You did all that stuff here. I put him in that same Marc Gasol group. I mean, spent a couple of years at East. You make him won the Gatorade Player of the Year in Memphis. Yeah, I mean, I know Nashville would say, no, he's ours, but don't you consider him more Memphis than you do Nashville?
Not really.
You just got hate for James.
I don't
deep
have
down
any hate for James.
Yes, you do. All
I
you
do not
guys
have any hate for
that
James.
Called him a quitter and he left and all this stuff. Y'all still got
he's
that
been two,
resentment.
He spent 2 years in Memphis.
Up.
He spent the other 16 or whatever it was in Nashville. You know, I don't think that – he's not a Memphian.
Oh, he was when y'all wanted him playing for the Tigers. He was anything he wanted to be.
Well,
he
that's right.
He called him a Memphian then.
That's right. I mean, I just – I don't think there's – I don't think the majority of people
– I'm fine. I'm not going to argue if you don't want to put him in the same grouping as Mark, but you don't necessarily – he fits our high school requirements.
Yep. Ian Clark, people are saying. Ian Clark went to Germantown High School.
And won a title.
He won a championship with Golden State, but how much did he play? Is the question.
It was significant. I remember he going out, but again, that second unit.
Yeah, no, he played.
I remember us having him on the air and talking
he
about
he played 13 minutes a game.
Yeah, it's significant. Yeah. But again, you would put Penny in losing it still above that in terms of Memphian who went to conference finals or finals
overall.
Well,
this is then Penny's always going to be the answer then. I mean, Penny's always no matter what, Penny's always going to be unless campaign's the starting point guard for the rest of the damn season, then Penny's always going to be the
won.
Answer.
And they won. Yeah. And Phoenix won.
Yeah, I mean, again, no shame in that. I mean, no, I think I agree with you because Penny was like the starter.
And Thad's not going to have enough of a role on a championship team, which is what I've always wanted to see him on.
He might
sort
still.
Of being, I don't know. It won't be a big enough role, even if he wins it. I don't think to overcome Penny. Just talking about guys that could take that from Penny. It's going to be might be a while.
Yeah, it might. But campaign's putting on for the city, man, and it is cool. Like every time I see him, I'm like, yo, he's from. I tell my wife he's from Memphis. She knows now. But I remind her every because it's a cool thing to like turn on the Western Conference freaking finals, and it's like a Memphian. It's a dude from Memphis, and they pointed
literally
out right
leading the game and scoring.
Like yesterday, you know, the campaign. You know,
it was cool last night going through people. Like Drew Hill tweeted that shot from him in that gym from a random game about a year and a half ago when he didn't have that deal. I mean, he's just playing in Memphis. You know, Shabazz last night.
Yep.
Shabazz, like he tweeted about him training here. It's like, I get the goosebumps when I watch a kid like that from Memphis doing that on that big stage, man.
Well,
it's
not
fun.
Just Lausanne.
Lausanne.
We're talking about him,
Mark. Mark.
Well, they recruited Lausanne.
Moussa.
Moussa's in the G League Combine.
We're going to see how far Moussa gets.
Scott Labissiere,
though he never played.
But attended there. They could not. Mm-hmm. They could not.
Scott, more of a product of Reach Your Dream Prep Academy.
Yep.
I think that
they
website.
Tried.
That website's
Lausanne
still
tried,
coming
though.
Soon. Yeah. Well, Tippett was never going to let that happen. You know, that was not going to happen. I mean, but Lausanne.
Foolish decisions made.
But Mark was not a friggin'. I mean, he was a Michelin man when he was at Lausanne. He wasn't like the he
state champ, right?
Did they win the state championship?
I think so.
I don't know.
I thought they did.
About that. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have
to check.
Might have
check.
Went to state.
I don't have my 2002 Lausanne state championship.
Did that
history.
Team have Johnny West on it too?
I think it did.
Jerry's
yes.
son.
Yes.
Okay, Carlos Taylor.
It's
Johnny
entirely
West,
possible. I'm not saying they didn't. I just don't know. I don't know if they won.
Now
state
that you say that, Brad, they might have won that little. The little,
Memphians
the
who coached Marc
school.
Gasol at Lausanne watched him win a title together.
Peters.
They were just watching
Jason
him win the NBA
Peters.
Championship.
Yeah, they're talking about the NBA championship. So maybe he didn't win a state title there.
Well, I think that's a huge black mark against Mark's career that he did not win a state championship at Lausanne, and I think he needs to really take a look in the mirror. And what went wrong for you, man?
Lausanne's really produced some basketball talent, hasn't it?
They have. They have. I mean, again, they use that. International Bachelor. Yeah,
they didn't use that on campaign.
They use
like
it on
from
Moussa.
Bartlett.
They use it on Moussa. You know, and I'm sure they use it on Skull as well.
That I-20.
Yeah, that I-20, exactly. Which, hey, the game is the game. I ain't mad at y'all. But y'all, you know, y'all want to act like it's all about the coursework.
Man, how Moussa doing, man? We know you represent him.
Moussa's going to be
among
fine,
many
bro.
Other players you represent.
Moussa's going to be fine.
You don't like us talking about his skills level or anything these days.
I mean, Moussa's going to get drafted.
Third in the vert in that combine, that G League combine.
Moussa's going to get drafted. I'm
second round?
You.
Second round?
Probably.
Yeah, late?
So. Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean, if he stays in, I think he's going to get drafted.
Would you guys draft McClung? He would look good in the combine. He had 14 or 11
know,
in that.
I know John would.
No, I know he's Caucasian,
don't put that
but
on
I'm
me.
Not. I'm
don't
regardless
put that
of race. Just
I have one.
You like the kid?
My Caucasian quota has been met this year with Kispert.
Yeah.
You know,
you're all in on Kispert.
Yeah. I mean, McClung's he's a smaller guy. He jumps out the gym. That's great.
He might have a little more fire in him than your boy Kispert.
Well, right. I'll put him in the dunk contest.
Same thing.
I'll draft him for the dunk contest. But DJ Stephens, they say Mack McClung had the record. DJ Stephens has the record, but I guess it wasn't at an official. It was at a Nets team combine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at like an NBA combine. But DJ's was I still think higher than McClung's, or at least right there.
I was surprised that Musa, with his height, was third straight up vert.
I was impressed
because he's crazy athlete.
That is stupid for that
his
height.
Speed. You should say he should be doing well in all the sprinting drills as well.
I didn't realize
crazy
that,
athlete
Jason.
For that size.
When I saw that number, I'm like, I didn't realize the athleticism until you see it in that ranker.
Just don't have, you know.
Yeah, I knew that. You
hands are little.
This man cannot talk about Musa Cisse for 5 minutes without taking a gratuitous shot. Amazing.
It's not gratuitous. Did we get measurements of those hands?
No, dude. This isn't the NFL draft combine.
It was the G League.
Can't hold on to anything.
Yeah, but I mean, the guy had the friggin' third highest vert at 7 foot. Basically, he's getting drafted. I mean, you get get ready for that. It's gonna happen. It's probably gonna be second round.
Gotta claim him then.
This man think higher of Musa than he does James Wiseman and his chances in the league the rest of the way. Now that's
scary.
That's backwards, bro.
Not true.
I don't believe that.
Yes, it is.
No, the Warriors. The Warriors were listening to our segment yesterday because they decided they were going to come out with a through their team of reporters, we're not doing anything with James. We love James.
That's right.
They were coming back at you.
That ain't spin, bro.
Yeah.
He's the number two pick.
You got
a lot invested in him.
You don't believe
in
him,
yet.
I don't believe in the Warriors' belief in him is what I don't believe in. But as I explained to Steve Kerr,
of course,
we don't have to do this through the media. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do this publicly. You know, you can always come to me directly. We can handle it like men.
Can Musa Cisse be fixed up to be an NBA player?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Clint Capela was. I mean, absolutely. Bruno Caboclo, again. I use Bruno Caboclo as an example for pretty much anybody. If Bruno Caboclo can play in the NBA, you too can. Like you can make it, man. You can get a 10-day.
Y'all have seen how ugly it is when Ben Simmons shoot free throws?
Oh, bro.
Dude.
Just wait till Musa get to the league. He going to set a new standard.
Yes, he is.
Underhand.
John said main shot 101% from the free throw line at Lausanne.
Hey,
now,
you remember
that was the 3-point shot.
Remember when we were talking about Moose's 3 points in the summer audition for the Tigers, John?
That's why he's still high on this dude.
They didn't let him shoot from outside, man. They didn't give him a chance. They didn't feature
Brad
him.
Brad said, can you fix him up into an NBA? It's going to take a lot of fixing on that offensive end to make that, viable.
Somebody told me that man shot 70% from NBA range.
Your source is Stevie Wonder.
Now, he might have been right. It might have been true. It could have been true, but of course, not guarded. Anybody can damn near shoot 70%.
Tigers would have won the whole damn thing if that had happened.
Can you imagine if he could have
hit? If he was half the player that we thought he was coming out of Lausanne that was reported.
I do wonder if, like, the person that told me this was just like, let me just see what he'll go with. Like, let me just see if he'll buy this. Yeah, you know, he shot 70% from NBA range.
Bro.
And oh, my God, he printed it.
It's one of the great things about radio. It escapes a little quicker.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys won't let me live that one down. You know,
we'll let it go.
It's my Stan Simpson.
I think it was Musa was a better player than Stan Simpson. By every way imaginable.
Dude, all I said, Stan's going to have a good year for a backup big.
Yeah. We'd forgotten about Stan until you brought him
up. No, you called him Stan Olajuwon.
Oh, it was a joke.
You can't joke.
Folks have taken that.
People don't joke.
Give me a break.
People don't take jokes. They thought you were being serious.
No, most of them knew. But to your point, there's still some that say, oh, no, that man thought that's really saying he hockey.
Hey, he was a junior college wonder in the state of Illinois.
I remember very well.
Ren Lake or someplace like that?
John Logan.
Oh, yes, John Logan.
Play well against Jackson State and no one else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Anyway, we'll come back. Matt Moore going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies campaign and more. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. audacy. Download it today.
be stuck in one slot. Yeah. Level hoes, Rolls Royce truck in the ghetto. Elves on the wheel, wave hello. Yeah.
If you notice something is amiss, if you notice something ain't right about your roof, if you got a leak, anything going on at all, call our man Chris McCulley of McCulley Roofing and Renovations. He's an honest guy, straightforward guy, top of the line dude, man. He's going to come out, just like he did for me about a year ago. He's going to get on your roof. He's going to say you got some storm damage or you got a missing shingle or some other technicality with your roof. He's going to explain it to you, and then he's going to go to work. He's going to get with your insurance company. He's going to work to get it covered. That's what happened for me about a year ago. No out-of-pocket cost. It was incredible. Got a whole new roof. It's the easiest experience I've ever gone through. The same will happen for you when you use Chris McCulley of McCulley Roofing and Renovations. When he comes out, make sure you let him know. You heard about him on the Jason and John show. He's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
Yep, 487-7096. That's how you get the process started. Again, that number, for those of you writing it down, 487-7096. It's a number you're not going to want to lose. Put it in your phones. Like John said, Chris McCulley, simply the best in the business. Whether you got a big problem or a small problem, and you got renovation questions or concerns, or want to know whether you can do this, or this, call them up with that as well. But the most popular roofing company by Memphis Most, if we got anything to say about it, he's going to be that again. Check out their 5-star reviews on Facebook over at McCulley Roofing and Renovations. Simply the best in the business. And like John said, he's had the experience. He's going to take all the stress out of it. Just make sure you mention you heard it on Jason John. You'll get that free roofing upgrades. McCulley Roofing and Renovations.
Steph Curry, I saw this just come across. This is quite fascinating. Steph Curry is launching his underrated tour showcase. And you know who can only play in this? 3-star players. You have to be a 3-star, I guess, or lower to participate in this showcase, because that's what Steph Curry was coming out of high school in 2006. Steph Curry was not ranked. He was a 3-star player, but he had no ranking attached to his name.
Yeah.
And he's only going to be one of the greatest players of all time. I got to tell you, that's embarrassing. I mean, Same with Ja. It's like, what are we doing? You know, Steph Curry's the son of Dell Curry. It's not like he's hiding out here. It ain't like he's hard. I guess Ja, fine. If you want to say that Ja was, low fund AAU team, and that his team didn't play in big events, okay, I can understand that. You know, although I feel like somebody somewhere would have said, this kid, you got to come see this kid named Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. I don't, in this day and age. But Steph Curry, though, bro, I mean, did he just become awesome at Davidson? I mean, was he not, like, could you not see his skill level in high school? I don't know.
It was his size and whether or not he'd be able to defend, you know, at the not college level and then at the NBA level.
Keon Clairejo was ranked, bro.
You know. Again, nobody. Steph, was he coming right across half court and pulling at that point? It wasn't what it is now. Again, yeah. Don't you think he would have gotten the benefit of the doubt because he's Dell's son if he was, to that point, you know, a finished product? No, they were doubtful because of the guy's size, because he didn't look like he had a muscle in his body. Because of his body, that was the main part, the main reason why. And you mm-hmm. weren't talking about a guy who could jump out of the gym like John Morant could. So,
well, I mean, I feel like the shot. I mean, I'm looking at the high school highlights right now. Obviously, it's not what it is today.
Oh, but, it's not.
But
and nobody could have
still,
ever envisioned what
this
it
still,
is
This
today.
Dude was still pulling, though. Like, no problems. You know, he's still pulling from everywhere on the floor. This was a day, you know, an age where three-point shooting was not as...
My whole thing is that this would have given a guy like you a chance. Or, you know, just some scrub.
Huh?
Steph's camp here, looking for 3-star or less. So that means 0 stars.
I would not have been eligible.
You would have got a shot.
I would not have been eligible.
You have to have at least 1 star?
No, I would have been a 4-star. If I would have stuck with it,
man, get the heck out of here, fool.
The ratchet, man. The jumper is absolutely. I just needed some coaching.
I like that Steph's putting on for the overlooked guy.
That's a cool thing to do, actually. You know, I mean, it really is. Like, because you limit it to 3-star or below, so it's like, you know, you get a little bit of exposure.
Yeah, because all the 4s and 5s are getting that anyway, yeah, out on the big circuits.
100%.
And they're getting most of the headlines.
And people
anyway.
And people will come to this. Like there will be, you know, scouts and media folks who come, because it's Steph. So they will come out to that. So I think it's a really cool thing to do. for kids like that. Anyway, I saw that story. I wanted to pass along. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Moore is going to join us when we come back. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, the Suns. Is this going to be a sweep? Get his thoughts on the Grizzlies this offseason. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Matt Moore writes about the NBA over at the Action Network. Love the Action Network. Actually, I look at it pretty much every single day during the NBA playoffs. Matt Moore joins us now. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Matt, we've been focusing a lot on free throws during these playoffs, it feels like. If it's not Ben Simmons, if it's not Giannis, last night it was Paul George. Did that trip to the free throw line, in your opinion, undo most of the good that Paul has done in the absence of Kawhi?
I don't go there. Like, look, if you want to go back, LeBron James has missed a lot of clutch free throws. Like, a lot of clutch free throws. And you want to say, well, okay, but Paul George isn't LeBron. Sure, but if you're going to be judging guys based off of these single possessions, I don't think you can. And you got to understand how much Paul George is having to do with Kawhi out. Right. That plays a factor in this. I think maybe the more interesting thing, how much of this is related to the change from the bubble? Like, we saw guys that were automatic at the free throw line last year in the bubble, and we saw teams that were automatic from the field in the bubble. And you add these fans back in, these tense moments, and it does seem like there's a difference. Like, I actually genuinely wonder if there's something to that. Like, how much of the fan, because the players talked about it last year, about how the depth perception changes when there's fans in the arena. So I think there's a lot of things to consider here, but no, I still think Paul George is pretty amazing.
Is this a sweep? What do you think, Matt? Does Paul have enough?
I don't think it's a sweep. I think that one thing I'm really big on is I don't tend to be like, oh, guys coming back, therefore you add X points, and therefore they're going to win. Like, Everything changes. So Chris Paul comes back, right? But Cameron Payne's played out of his mind. Like, Cameron Payne's played absolutely fantastic. If Paul comes back and takes those minutes and is a little rusty coming off of the absence, or just doesn't have a bad game, which is possible, then everything kind of changes. We've seen the Clippers down 0-2 twice. Yes. I'll also say this. The Suns dominated them, won all the matchups, got all this stuff, and both games were close. Like, the Clippers are there in this series. I think the Suns will win because they've already got two games up and they're a better team than the other teams that the Clippers beat after going down 0-2. But I think the Clippers are still alive in this series.
One of the other things that came out of last night, of course, was replay and how often the referees were at the televisions and they were reviewing things. And it took, I think, you know, an hour and a half to basically play the last 2 minutes. And so the natural conversation today is replay ruining the game? Is it ruining the game? Is there, and I know that was an extreme version of replay last night that we saw. Is there a happy medium? What do you make of replay and its role in last night and all playoffs long?
Ruining the game is just like a strong term. Like, how do you walk out of that game last night and just not be like, that was still awesome? Like, that was absolutely, that final play to Ayton was absolutely incredible, which, by the way, does not happen if they don't do the replay, which allows the Suns to set up that play using basically a timeout they didn't have. Which is, I'm not saying that the replay is good. This is my big thing. Instead of focusing on whether we should have replay or not have replay, why does it take so long? Like, it is. Mm-hmm. It takes 30 seconds for them to get over to the table. It takes 30 seconds for them to get in contact with the caucus. It takes them 5 minutes to go over the same play 8 different ways. Why are we doing this on every single sequence for it to take that long? Like, a lot of this is still that the referees want control. They don't want these decisions made by Secaucus. Secaucus, while the officials are like rounding up everybody and be like, "Hey, we're gonna go to the review," have Secaucus already be looking at it, and Secaucus be like, "Yeah, no, it was clearly off of this guy. No, that was clearly a foul." All of these type of things, and you just speed up the process. Like, I get the officials want it, but this to me is a problem. It's not the reviews. If the reviews were taking 30 seconds, we'd be like, "All right, it's like another timeout. Mm-hmm. That's fine." It's taken 5 minutes on every single review. That's how we get 30 minutes for the last 90 seconds.
Is there any way Atlanta can keep this up? Or is this just paved for the Bucks to roll against a 5 seed? What do you think?
We'll find out tonight. I mean, look, I'll tell you this. I've gone back and forth on it. I opened with, like, man, the Bucks should just, like, destroy them. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking at the matchups. And I'm like, man, Trey's going to get – here's the big thing. How's Trey's shoulder? How's Trey's shoulder and how's Bogdanovich's health? If Bogdanovich isn't 100% and Trey's shoulder is bothering him, then it's a wrap. They don't have enough on the perimeter to be able to keep up with the Bucks. But if they do, Trey's going to get that floater every single time. The Bucks have managed to keep Brook Lopez on the floor through two playoff series in that drop coverage, which that's been a problem for them in their last two playoff runs. Mm-hmm. If the Hawks can put enough pressure on them with Trey Young hitting floaters, making them step up and then hitting the lob, making the help come over and then finding shooters, like the Hawks have the shooting component if Bogdanovich is healthy. If they're not, then they're going to get run, and it's going to be over in short order. I do think the Hawks don't have the defense to be able to kind of hang with how good the Bucks are, because even if you have strategic advantages over the Bucks defense overall is still so good, it's going to chip away at your efficiency. But the Bucks shooters have always been cold. They were cold the last two rounds. They got out of it for a couple of reasons. But that, to me, is like a big part of this is how healthy is Trae Young, how healthy is Bogdanovich, and can the Hawks shooters outperform what a Bucks team that historically has really struggled to hit the open shots they need to hit.
How much has your opinion on Trae Young changed this season? Maybe it hasn't. Maybe you were already in one place with him and thought he could do this at some point. Maybe not yet, but then he shows it, or has it? Because for me, it was literally a question earlier this year where you're asking, how much does he affect winning? To now, he's finding different ways to win, even when his shot's not dropping. Has your opinion of him changed based on what you've seen this season, where he's been able to lead them?
I wouldn't say it's a 180 turn for me. It's more like a 90-degree turn.
I
where I thought, you know, I think he's – I liked his all of his components coming out of college. And I thought that he got kind of an unfair rap the first couple of years. He put a lot of work into not being horrible defensively this year. He's always going to be bad just because of his size. But you put the effort in, like that's what Steph Curry has showed. If you put the effort in, you look a lot different defensively. And then his passing, I've always been like, that's my biggest thing with him is I think he's a marvelous passer. But I will say, I did not think he was ready for the moment like this. So many guys get there and it's tough to adapt to how it changes. Trey's made for the moment. He's like, you play him tight, and he's going to punish you for it. You had help, and he's going to punish you for it. The fact that he's not one-dimensional, he's not just a shooter, he's not just a passer, that he is this all-around offensive weapon, including that floater, which really is such a weapon in today's NBA, yep. That to me has really impressed me. He's ready for the moment. He's leading that team. I've been really impressed with Trae Young. He is ahead of where I thought he would be at this point in his career.
One of the things that you hear in Memphis, right, as a result of where the Grizzlies got this season is, well, look at Atlanta. You know, Atlanta went out and they went for it, and they brought in Bogdanovich. They brought in Danilo Gallinari. They brought in, you know, some other guys. Is that something, A, do you think the Hawks, quote-unquote, went for it by doing that? And, B, do you think that's replicable or should be replicated in Memphis?
I would say, that's a good question. I think you can argue that, but you got to really look at who the impact guys for Atlanta are. Like Bogdanovich, sure. Like they had the money, they had the availability, they want to get good guys around Trey, for sure. Like I think Bogdanovich was going for it, but like they added Gallinari. Gallinari's been a net negative, even in the playoffs. He was good in the last game versus the Sixers who were imploding.
Right.
But overall, Gallo's a net negative for that team this year. Like, who's really led them? And it's been John Collins, who they drafted and has been amazing, and I think every team should be biting, just chomping at the bit to try and get him in free agency. It's been DeAndre Hunter, who took a huge step forward this season before his injury. Like, he had so many injuries and was still, honestly, maybe the second most impactful player on the team this season. Cam Reddish gave them good minutes. Like, this is still a young core, but they did add that one piece. If you want to accelerate the process, you can. You can go for that one guy. The problem I do think is, you know, I think they overpaid for Bogdanovich a little bit, and that's the question is, with Memphis, do you want to overpay, and who do you overpay it for, and who are you going to get? Because Bogdanovich would be an offensive upgrade over Dillon, right? But is Dillon's defense counteract some of that? Mm-hmm. It's a tough question. I do think that the Grizzlies can look for a wing. If there's a deal that makes sense, that's the key. Don't do a deal just because you're like, we got to do a deal. Make the right deal for you. That was the right deal for Atlanta, and it's paid off.
The only guy, I mean, if you look, you could go and make a trade, but I don't really understand how a trade would make sense, because to get the type of dude that we're talking about, this mythical guy, you're going to have to give up one of these pieces that you sort of have chalked up as your future, right? You're going to have to give up a Dylan. You're going to have to give up a Jaren, one of these picks. It ain't going to happen. And the one guy that we've sort of talked about is Will Barton, who, of course, has an option there in Denver. He played his college basketball at Memphis. He loves Memphis. Would he even leave Denver? Like, would he be a guy you think that might decline that option and hit free agency? And what kind of money would he get?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance that he enters free agency. I just think that he only gets so many chances, and the market's pretty good for him. I thought he looked good in the two games he played coming back from the injury. I don't think it's a guaranteed thing. I think he loves Denver quite a bit in this team, but he's also had some rough experiences. The fans booed him 2 years ago when he had a rough shooting performance. That's really stuck with him. So I think he still has such a soft spot in his heart for Memphis. But I also don't know that Barton, as much as I really like think highly of Will, I don't know that Barton is like the game changer, right? Like, you got to consider how good Bogdanovich has been. And so if you're looking for that wing guy, you really need to make sure that it's a guy a little bit above Barton, who I think is a quality starter and does a lot for Denver and would help the Grizzlies. But for the price, I don't know that that's the kind of guy that's going to be able to get you to that next level the way that you want.
Ideally, Matt, what are you doing with that 17 pick if you're the Grizzlies? What are you trying to do? Is there a guy for you around that point, or is there a guy you think makes sense to move up a couple of spots for? Because it seems like you'll have to give up much more if we're talking about moving up high. What do the Grizz do at 17? What's the best way to address it?
Still trying to get a sense for where everything's going to fall after the lottery. I will say that, like, one thing I talked to and a guy I really trust on draft stuff that works in the league last night, and he said, you know, at that kind of range between 15 and 25, really, mm-hmm. there's a lot of guards that are projected there. I think that's tough because of where Memphis is at in terms of their roster, right? Like, there's a lot of talent available at that spot. So I do wonder if maybe that's a pick that you look at to try and make a trade on draft night to try and add another guy. Mm-hmm. If you can add a veteran with that pick, I also think that might be worth it, as much as I like, you know, being patient with the process. They're full up on young guys. They got enough young guys. I think that they're good on the young guy crew. So if they can add, if there's a talent they think is spectacular, then sure. But I kind of look at it and think that they've got so much talent. You know, there's been a lot of, it's wild. Jaden Springer is a guy that honestly, the projections on him are wild. Between, I've seen him at 8, I've seen him at 20, I've seen him all over the place. As I'm very high on him and what he can bring to the table, so I tend to think, like, a guy like that, if you are sold on him, then sure, but it opens up other problems for you to have to figure out down the line.
Yeah, of course. I'll get to Matt Moore, writes about the NBA over at the Action Network. You've got a piece up today about Ben Simmons and his future. And of course, look, there's lots of different ways it could go. You know, the Sixers are still technically the favorite in terms of whose team he's going to be on next year. But you wrote about the Wizards, the Blazers, the Celtics, Bulls, others, the field. Right now, you've got the Wizards in terms of value. You've got the Wizards as the best value for Ben Simmons' next team at plus 650. And then you have the Sixers number two at minus 125. How do the Philadelphia 76ers bring this guy back after what happened?
I asked an exec about this, and it's in the story. When did Daryl Morey ever trade at lowest value? When does he ever make a trade when there's the least value for a guy? Like, the only time you can really look at that was, you know, right before he left, when Tillman Fertitta was kind of blowing up the team. So I think that's part of the equation, is just, I kind of believe Morey will rehab his value a little bit, find a way to get the value back up. Like, if you're trading him in the next 30 days, it's like all-time low for an all-star. Like, this guy was an all-star, and he is an all-defensive team guy who can also pass and is a great finisher. So I think that's kind of it. It's just that they'll start the season with him and then find a team to try and make it fit. Like, I don't think there's any way he stays there. I think that the relationship is never going to be salvaged, especially after his coach and his teammate for 5 years absolutely threw him under the bus at the lowest point in his professional career. So great leadership there from both those guys. I do think that there will be a market that will kind of increase for him, but this was the sense I got. I polled executives and I said, okay, you know, do you think that he's worth trading for? And they all said, yes. Like, I think he's still so talented. If you have the right personnel, you can make it work. And then I asked, would you trade for him? And they're like, oh, no, that contract, no, we wouldn't do that. So that's a good indication of where we're at. Everyone kind of agrees, like, no, like, there's value there. But the contract makes it really difficult, and you're going to have to find a team that's as desperate to make a move. And so far, the Blazers, who I think are one of those teams that might be desperate enough, haven't shown a willingness to do so, and Brad Beal hasn't asked out of Washington yet.
Yeah, you bring that up. We talked about that, the reaction after the Game 7 in Philly. And I at least can understand where Joel Embiid is coming from, because he's been in the trenches with this dude, and he's frustrated, and he's how much more of prime Joel Embiid are we going to get? So he's probably thinking about a million different things. But I thought it was poor form from Doc, who knows how that is going to come across, right? Who knows how, when he says, I don't know how to answer the question of, can you win a championship with Ben Simmons at point guard? I mean, why do that? Because not only do you throw the guy under the bus, but don't you tank his trade value too by doing that publicly?
Yeah, I mean, they just went out and assassinated his trade value. I mean, both of them really did. I'll say this, look, Doc was asked about, can you win a championship with Ben at point guard, which Ben's always resisted playing any other position. He wants the ball in his hands, right? So, Doc's answer, there's a lot of, loaded kind of context to it. You know, and I think that, Doc came out the next day and was we believe in him and we know what we can do with him, all these kind of things. Not to say that it takes away from it. I still don't think Doc should have said that. Just be like, yeah, no, we can get there. We just got to work on some stuff and we've got to make sure that the team plays better. This is a team sport. I'm sorry. This is a team sport. Joel Embiid got stripped by Danilo Gallinari for the dagger dunk, and then took an absolutely terrible three-pointer when his jumper, which has honestly been over expectations all year, did not come through for him. He had 16 turnovers in the final two games. Come on now. This is a team game. I was way more upset with Embiid's comments. That's his teammate. And he literally just, pinned the entire game on him. And at some point, look, Embiid was great in that series. He's great in his playoffs. He finished second MVP. I thought it was the right thing for him. Phenomenal player. Not a perfect player. Still can't handle a double team. There's all these kind of things. And how many times has he had to miss time with injury and Simmons has had to carry the team? I just think eventually that pinning everything on one guy, it's really corrosive. And my big takeaway was look, if you're one of the other Sixers guys, you better not have a bad playoff series next year. If he'll do that to Simmons, he'll do it to you.
What's the move? And they're gone right now. I know LeBron would love to stay in the news cycle and has done his best to do that. But what's the offseason move for them? Matt, is there one? Are their hands too tied behind them? Is there a move they can make that significantly increases their chances? Because we know that window's closing for LeBron and figure he's going to be desperate. What can they do?
There's a tension point here between two kind of standard things, which is you look at the situation and you're like, they don't have any assets. They got no cap room. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere for them to go. And that goes up against the historic precedent of the Lakers generally tend to get what they want. So that's going to be a big question is, does Brad Beal ask out of Washington and say, I want to go to the Lakers and it's the only place I want to go. And then it's Kyle Kuzma and whatever random pieces. I don't even know if they have the salary, but they try and find the ability to get Beal to the Lakers. That sounds like fantasy, except that how many times have we seen it? Right. Clutch Sports gets what it wants. Mm-hmm. They've been running this thing for a couple of years. So I think that it's possible they make some sort of big splash. The margins moves, I don't know, just because LeBron saying I'm never going to be 100% again was really that was an ankle sprain. And he was I don't know if I'm going to be 100% again. Now a little dramatic. It's LeBron. It's okay. He deals in narrative. But that was a little concerning. And the other thing is, even if they add that other guy, can you trust Anthony Davis? The one run that they made to win the championship was after a three-month hiatus rest.
So true.
So I think the Lakers are up against it. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. I expect for them to make a move where you're like, oh, man, the Lakers are reloaded and they're back in it, etc. But just keep in mind, the NBA season's very long.
That's right.
And that, more than anything, is what's working against the Lakers right now.
Hey, Matt, man, great stuff as always.
Thank
appreciate
you, brother.
The time.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Yep. He is Matt Moore from the Action Network. Good stuff from him. Yeah, if you look up at his piece, Ben Simmons, -125, the favorite, to still be on the 76ers at the start of next season, which I would not have thought. Would not have thought that.
Doc tried to start walking him back. We'll see.
Some NBA breaking news. Boston Celtics finalizing an agreement to hire Brooklyn Nets assistant Yuduka, is that his name? The assistant from the Nets. I don't know him, but he's the franchise's new coach, according to ESPN and Adrian Wojnarowski.
Okay, well,
unfamiliar.
Ime Udoka.
Yeah. Ime Udoka.
Yeah, Ime Udoka. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. So there is some breaking news. Boston Celtics have their coach. It is not Becky Hammond, of course, but it is. No. Ime Udoka. So anyway, congratulations to him. All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Wednesday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.